Hey, friend, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and I'm your host. Today, we're going to be talking about finding hope after betrayal, one of the first steps in this process. However, before I move any further, I want to be clear on what I'm talking about in this episode. When I'm talking about betrayal, I'm just going to be sharing in the general sense of the word. I'm not going to be coming from an infidelity, for example. I'm just going to be talking about betrayal and the definition, the most common forms of betrayal, but really how we find hope and the first step to finding hope in that. So wherever you are, listen in, just know that I am for you, that God is for you, that He is with you, that if you are listening to this because you've been betrayed, I just want to say, I'm so sorry. And I know what it's like to be hurt, as you will hear in some of my stories. Hey, friend, do you feel distant from God? Are you constantly trying to understand if God is good, then why do bad things happen? Do you wish the church had more conversations around things like depression, anxiety, or grief? Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places. And this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a biblical counselor, mentor, author, and speaker. I'm the big sister who's going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we are going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. How to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God and the church. So pull up a chair and join me at the table. Let's go on this journey together, friend. One of the first things I want to start with when it comes to betrayal is just Jesus' story. We read in the Gospels about the betrayal of the people that are supposed to know scripture so well, right? I feel this in my own life when it seems like the cuts cut deeper when it's from somebody that's a believer. And we can see that in Jesus's own life, even up until the cross, Peter denying him, Judas betraying him. So when we say that God knows and that He understands, we can see this through Jesus's life. He knows what it's like to be denied. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. So there's no hope that is lost here. And it is because of this that we can enter boldly to the throne of grace, because He knows the pain that we carry. But I want to just define betrayal. It is a violation of a person's trust or confidence of a moral standard. Now, again, I can't address everything. I'm going to be talking about it in a general sense of the word. And of course, I don't want your feelings to be unheard in a, 20-minute podcast episode. But if anything, I just want you to know and to validate that what you're probably experiencing is very common and very normal. So the most common forms, though, of betrayal are just harmful disclosures of confidential information, disloyalty, infidelity, and dishonesty. I think sometimes when we think of betrayal, we might think of the word infidelity. But I also think that betrayal can be just the purest form of trust in any relationship. You know, like I said, the confidential information that is disclosed, disloyalty, dishonesty. And then I want us to continue to look that there's betrayal of family. There's betrayal of friendships, coworkers, romantic relationships. So although each type of relationship is going to look different in repairing what was broken, right? In a family, it's going to look a lot different than a coworker. And if it's a friendship, it's going to look a lot different than a romantic relationship. And it depends on the betrayal itself. You know, was it the trust of information? Was it disloyalty? Was it infidelity? Was it dishonesty? Because each step in way is going to need to be treated very differently. But I do believe that as individuals, me and you, we find hope and healing in a very familiar and similar way. Now, I'm just going to share a few of my own stories because I want to go first. And here's what I want you to recognize, even in some of my stories, is that betrayal is a big and hurtful thing, but it can also come in very little, not little, maybe little is not the word, but smaller events. Okay. So for example, betrayal that I had, and this just happened probably about 18 months ago. And I thought I was friends with this person. And I come to find out that everything that I had believed was a lie. And she was disloyal. She was dishonest. No matter how many times I actually tried to be honest with her, I confronted her. I said, hey, what's going on? What's happening? And then when things ended and things started to separate, we learned, my husband and I learned, more lies that were being told about us. Disloyalty, this betrayal of a friendship that I had put so much time and love into, that really rocked our worlds. And it just, you felt betrayed. You felt like no matter what was being said, that it didn't matter because this person had treated you this way. And for me, when it came to this friendship, looking back, it was always a defense and protection on her end, no matter what it cost me. If I'm talking about a romantic relationship, I want to talk about a past one. One, somebody I was dating at a time knew how vital and important reading my journal was. And it was kind of at the end of our relationship and it was really rocky and I did not want to deal with any kind of conflict. And so he betrayed my trust and he shared information by reading my journal. And again, to some people, depending on where you are and what hurt that was, it might seem so insignificant, like he read your journal. But there was a betray of trust and being lied to about it until confronted about it. Because I said there would be no way that you would know that unless if you had read my journal. And then I think of betrayal in family, of how hard it can be to tell somebody the hurt that's been caused, only for them to throw it in your face later, for sides to be chosen, for lies to be told. And that obviously hurts. And there is this betrayal, there's this dishonesty that was a pattern, and it kept happening, that one thing was being told and it just wasn't true. And it was always an attack on my character of what I did and what I said and how I love. And then I would be spiritually manipulated in that situation in regards to love. And it's hard. But when I think about betrayal, I think even just hearing three quick stories of my own, we can see that there's many levels to betrayal, but they all hurt. From being betrayed in a friendship for years and feeling like it was something that it wasn't, and recognizing that what I was telling my friend was also being told in another area. And so there was so much dishonesty and disloyalty and just trust of information being told, and the relationship of just lying about reading through my journal, which was such a private place for me, such a private place. And then the relationship of betrayal of family and the dishonesty and the disloyalty and the betrayal of lie after lie. So how do we find hope? You know, in the new year, I am releasing a biblical study on rebuilding trust. And you can get my three-day study at the link in the show notes, or you can go to jessicahoddle.com/3-day-Bible-study. But in this biblical study about rebuilding trust, I'm talking about one of the key stages in rebuilding trust, And that is finding security in God before finding security in people. So this isn't the first step of really finding hope in betrayal, but it's part of that process. It's part of the first step is finding security in God before we find security in people. Let me read you some of Psalm 73. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom I have in heaven but you. And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The writer ends by saying this, but for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. In Psalm 73, the writer is talking about his frustration at seeing the wicked prosper. And he's trying to figure this out. And he's feeling frustrated of how all these evil people can continue to get what they want and hurt these people. And then there's a transition in the writer, and he talks about how tiresome it was to try to figure out their end until he went into the sanctuary of God. And basically is where he found his peace, is that he redirected his hurt. He redirected, I'm assuming, just even the betrayal he's felt from the people, even just knowing that they've turned their back on God. And we see this writer saying, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This writer says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. So we can find security and safety in God. And that is our hope. That is our hope. That is how we begin to heal, is because we are not putting our love or our hope in something that wavers and something that's unstable. Our hope, the firm foundation of which we stand, is on Christ. And so we have to actually get back to, do I feel secure in God, in who he's called me to? Because the hurt is going to come. But it's what we do in our brokenness that matters, because he sent his Redeemer to us to redeem us. So we go on these adventures with God, and then we experience brokenness, but then there's redemption. And that's our hope. Our pain can be one of the greatest storytellers and teachers. But God did not bring this pain. He's not punishing you. He's not wanting you to go through this. Evil and hurtful things happen because of the sin that has entered in this fallen world from the time of Adam and Eve. So really, we go through, there's two different stages. It's individual healing, which is what we're going to talk about, forgiveness. Okay, that's going to be our first step, emotional and decisional forgiveness. And the second thing that we go through is reconciliation, but, big but, it has to be decided upon. And since I'm only talking with you today, we're going to focus on the individual hope that you can create. And with that, I want you to know that some of the things that you might experience when you feel betrayed is sadness. You might have situational depression, where you might want to sleep more, you feel more tired, you feel more lethargic, you feel more, even like you're questioning. I know that a lot of people, even myself, we just want to ask God a lot of questions. We might feel frustrated with God. Like, these are kind of normal feelings when we feel betrayed on earth. We also might have feelings as though life is over, or you just can't trust ever again. Like, you put so much trust in this person or this family member or this friend. Even a coworker, like, let's be honest, you know, you build this trust with a coworker and they might go behind your back and do your presentation or steal a job, it might feel like, or a position that you thought was going to be yours. Like, I want us to be open to the fact that you probably even hurt in dealing with betrayal, but we as a society have lumped it into just one type of betrayal. So this is just a normal reaction to abnormal event in your life, right? You're not getting betrayed every single day in the sense, okay, I know that maybe you could be in a relationship where you're being lied to and lied to, and you're working on that. But what I mean is that that first sense of betrayal is not a normal event that's happening in your life. So we're having a normal reaction to an abnormal event, situational depression, feelings as though life is over, feeling like you can't trust people ever again, feeling like you might be questioning God, feeling like you might be questioning your own choices in friendship and in what you're doing. And maybe you feel like you can't trust people because or you can't trust yourself to make decisions anymore. But when this happened, I think also two things were broken, security and significance. It's one of our greatest emotional needs. We want security in knowing that we are loved and significance, knowing that we are valued. And that's why I talked about finding security in God. This is why forgiveness is the first step to finding hope after betrayal, because to the degree that we forgive is when we can start to repair the brokenness. Now, like I said, there's two stages. That's individual healing and the reconciliation piece. But remember, we're only talking about today. We're only talking about what we can do because that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. We can start to repair the brokenness if we decide to reconcile with that person, which is a whole other conversation. And it will come in my biblical study that is on rebuilding trust. But also in the new year, I want you to know, I'm really excited about this, is I'm releasing a member community focused on providing you with resources to tend to the brokenness that you may feel and how to find hope when it's hurting. It's going to be only $7 a month starting out, and you will get a biblical study. You're going to get a bonus teaching. You're going to get a PDF download. And I share that with you because if you want to continue to have this conversation and get further help, it will be available for you in January, and it is coming, and I'm so excited. But you can sign up for free if you want a free account just to start, and the link will be in the bio. But finding hope when it comes to forgiveness, and there's a few things I want us to remember about forgiveness, because our hope, remember, is not in the person to repair us or to restore us. That comes with reconciliation in the sense of repairing the relationship, rebuilding the trust. And rebuilding a trust actually goes through its own stages, which is why I'm talking about the biblical study and the member community. But to go through forgiveness is where we can find hope, because we're no longer carrying the weight of it. So forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of love and mercy that God has called us to and the Holy Spirit anoints us to. I want us to know that forgiveness, we're not to confuse it for feeling good about what happened, because feelings can take time to heal. Forgiveness is not trusting, nor is it ignoring this betrayal and this thing that has happened. And it's not letting somebody off the hook. Okay. Forgiveness is not minimizing the pain or situation, and it does not require us to find redeeming qualities in someone or wait for good behavior. And that's probably one of the hardest ones to recognize when it comes to betrayal, because remember, individual talking to you, this hurt that we feel, we want to hold on to it, and then we're going to wait until they show us some kind of good behavior to forgive them. But we're not called to forgive based on feelings or minimizing pain or redeeming qualities. Forgiveness is simply the release of debt. Jesus paid our debt that was owed, and there was no way for us to repay God for the debt. So God so loved that he sent Jesus, and in that he forgave us of our debt. The first step to finding this hope, because it was like part one was security in God. Like, where are you with your security and safety in God? And I know that may feel broken too right now, because somebody has broken your heart. But that's just where I want us to go to begin to find hope, that it's not in the person getting better. That is what we pray for, but I want our hope to be in something that is sustainable, that is true, that is unchanging, and that is God. Forgiving others starts with being forgiven. That is our hope, that we cannot do this, not by our might or by our feelings, but through and because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's how we get through this, my friend. That is how we get through this. We take it one step at a time. So wherever you are, in whatever kind of pain or situation you've gone through, maybe you actually need to grieve the fact that it was a betrayal. Maybe you need to recognize that you're putting your hope in somebody other than God. Maybe you need to wrestle through the feelings that you have about God so you can find that security and safety again. He hasn't left you, friend. He hasn't forgotten about you. It's not in his nature to forget about you. He cannot forget about you. I want you to know that I'm here for you. Again, I'll be releasing a member community at $7 a month where you're going to get biblical studies and bonus teachings and really just a community of women where we can have raw and real conversations. And it's just behind closed doors. And I want to be that safe place for you to be able to acknowledge what you feel and move through it at the same time. Until next time, friend, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I pray that it encouraged you, that it blessed you, but most importantly, that it inspired you and set you into motion. I want you to be a person that feels like they have the steps to move in the next direction, that you know that it's possible to heal with God and that you don't have to live in shame and guilt anymore. If this episode blessed you, I would love for you to share it with somebody else, encourage them in their journey to growing their relationship with God and healing emotionally. Also, I would love for you to take 30 seconds of your time to leave a review on the podcast. It actually helps me to know what you're enjoying about this podcast so I can continue to keep showing up and answering the questions that you have for me. Last but not least, I love for you just to join us in the Facebook community. Every week we're in there and I'm connecting and I'm talking with you. And it's a place where I get to go deeper with you as well. So in the meantime, I'll see you in the Facebook group. Thanks so much again for sharing this episode and leaving a review.